Past weekend was incredible.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about Jim's Brown lesson and the fact that mankind is at the center of God's creation. I was totally blown away by Saturday's lesson, and I know that you guys were impacted. And it's just so cool that we got to have a theme talking about being amazed, right? Mm. And that our theme here is getting plugged in, but that we could sit back and look at, wow, if I'm plugged into God's church, then naturally I'm going to be amazed at God. I'm going to be amazed at Jesus. I'm going to be amazed at his church. And I'm going to be amazed at the mission, right?
Amen.
Right. So, you know, last week Charles did an excellent job talking about discipling and, you know, one another relationships and being connected to the church. So tonight, in the same fashion, we're going to talk about being plugged into the lost.
Come on.
Focusing on the core of how we can have the heart that God had, that Jesus had for the lost. You know, when Jesus sent out the 12 in Matthew 10 and 72, and then before he ascended back into heaven in Acts 1, he gave this charge that they would be witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the age. And that is still happening today. We have a charge to go and make disciples.
Right.
And the truth is, Jesus could have picked a completely different method, right? You know, another way instead. God thought that it would be more effective to have sinners, right, be impacted, be moved by the cross, to be confronted with their sin, to stand in grace, to respond to grace, and then to go out to other sinners and help them be reconciled to God. That is a brilliant plan. That is a brilliant plan. But you know what? Maybe that's not how you feel today.
All right.
Maybe some of us in here are struggling with getting on board with the mission. Struggling to have compassion and love for the lost. And as a result, you know that God's plan is brilliant. You believe that God's plan is brilliant, but it doesn't relate over to how you live your life. You know, I don't know, maybe somewhere along the line, Satan has gotten to your mind and has told you lies like this. When I read these off, see if you can connect with some of these. I will never help someone become a Christian, so why even have compassion? I'm not good enough. That's not my gift. Other people can do that better than I can. This evangelism thing takes too much of my time. I have too much going on campus. I'm tired of hearing about that. It's not possible for me to love people the way God is asking me to.
Mm.
You know, whatever your thoughts are, whatever the struggles are, whatever's preventing you from connecting with God's heart for the lost, my deepest prayer and honestly my deepest conviction is that that ends today. Can we say that together?
That ends today.
So come on. Turn your Bibles over with me to Luke 15.
All right, bro.
Yeah, all right, I'm turning.
We're going to camp out here for the night. And we're going to walk through these passages, we're going to exegete it, and we're going to talk about it. And the focus tonight is solely just on our hearts. That we want to be amazed at the mission, we want to be plugged into the mission, but we have to get to the core. And the core is the heart of why we even do what we do. God so deeply cares about everyone on this earth. Every single human being on this earth, God deeply cares about. More than we can fathom, more than we can grasp or even understand. But to get plugged into the lost, we need to get plugged into the Father's heart. To see what he sees and feels what he feels and then do what he does. Amen?
Amen.
So let's first go to our Father in prayer. And then we'll jump in. Father God, Dad, thank you so much just for tonight, God. Lord, you know that I had so much trouble with my laptop tonight, Lord, and just so all over the place, God. But right now, Father, move me completely out of the way, God. Let your Holy Spirit move. Let your Holy Spirit say what it wants to say, God. Help us to have the heart that you have for the lost, God, that when we see someone, God, that we're moved and affected, God, I pray that the words that you gave me, God, moves our hearts, Father, that it moves us to action and it moves us to have the eyes and the hearts and the actions that Jesus did, Lord. God, we thank you so much, Lord, and we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So the title of my lesson is The Evangelistic Heart. The Evangelistic Heart. And we only have 2 points. If you're going to have the evangelistic heart, then you have to, number one, become a desperate seeker. And then number two, become like the compassionate Father. So let's read Luke 15 here. In just a little context, you know, here in the text, Jesus is preaching to a large crowd of people. You know, he just finished saying some strong words on what it takes to follow him, what it takes to be a disciple, right? And with exhortation saying, whoever has ears, let them hear, right? And sinners, tax collectors, they're gathered around him listening to his words. But the Pharisees, they're also there, right? And they're grumbling, they're mumbling about Jesus' association with sinners and that he gladly welcomes them. So Jesus, like he so effortlessly does, like we all love about Jesus, he exposes the Pharisees and their self-righteousness and he goes into parable mode, right? So let's read verses 1 through 10 and we'll talk about that for a little bit. You guys there with me?
Yeah.
All right. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, muttered, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together, and he says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I will tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Right? So Jesus begins with this pastoral scene, and which is would have been familiar to these people there in Palestine, right? So he says, suppose one of you, right, has 100 sheep, which suggests that this person is modestly wealthy, right? Because it ranged from 20 to about 250 sheep that a shepherd would have. So this person had some kind of a money, some type of money. So most likely at the end of the day, right, the owner counts the sheep and realizes that one of them is missing, right? This owner leaves the 99 sheep in the open country just to go off to look for one sheep until it is found. And this would make sense because flocks of herd were an economic resource during that time. You know, they were used for their wool, for their other resources. So this is most likely how the shepherd got the bulk of his income. But more importantly, the sheep needs to be found because it may be permanently lost from the flock, or worse, it may be killed by a predator, right? So the owner desperately searches for the sheep and he searches and his search proves to be fruitful. He finds the sheep and joyfully puts it back and he puts it on his back and carries it home. He doesn't scold him, he doesn't kick him, he doesn't judge the sheep for leaving or walking off. As they walk home, the shepherd is simply joyful that he found him and that he can walk it back home. He then goes and invites his friend for a party. Look, participate with me in my joy. I found my lost sheep, right? And then Jesus brings it home by saying, this is how the heavens rejoice over one sinner. One sinner over 99 righteous persons who do not see the need for repentance. And then the second one, here a coin has been lost, right? And I searched up what a coin was, and it seems that it was most likely a drachma, which was a day's worth of a wage. So how many of us in here have jobs, right? So imagine you get paid $10, $12 an hour. That's $90 a day. So this woman lost $90, basically. How many of you would not be in your house flipping your couches under the TV screen, pulling your couch? That's $90.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That is a lot of money.
That's a retreat and breakfast.
We would all be desperately searching for that money, right? And with the certainty that this must be found. She lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches intently, carefully with great eagerness until she finds it. And similar to the first parable, she calls her friends and neighbors and tells them that she found her coin and invites them over. Look, come rejoice with me, I found my coin. And then Jesus again says that there is rejoicing in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who sees the need for repentance. So my first point is, if you're gonna have an evangelistic heart, then you have to become a desperate seeker, right? In both of these stories, both the shepherd and the woman were simply desperate, right? He leaves the 99 sheep in the open field, goes and looks for the one sheep. And she turns on the light, sweeps the house, and searches carefully for her coin. They both had an urgent attitude in finding their lost belongings. And it did not matter how long it took. It did not matter what energy had to be wasted. It did not matter what resources had to be given into it. They were desperately looking, and they were not going to stop until they found it. Right.
Yeah.
And then I love that Jesus says, you know, doesn't he, and then doesn't she? Doesn't she turn the lamp on? Doesn't he lead? Like, as that is, that's the heart that's to be expected when you do something. Right.
Yeah.
When something is lost, that Jesus is saying that, don't you expect that? Didn't you expect him to leave the 99? Didn't you expect her to sweep under her couch and sweep her house to look for this coin?
Yeah.
Right? This is the kind of desperate seekers that we need to be on our campuses.
Right.
This is the type of desperate seekers that we need to be wherever we are, right? People are lost.
Come on.
People with actual souls are lost.
Yeah.
They are hurting.
Yeah.
They are confused.
Come on, Kyrie.
This is the type of seekers that we need to be. God called us to go seek and help and save the lost. Are you a desperate seeker?
Come on, Kyrie.
Are you a desperate seeker?
Wow.
You know, to be a desperate seeker, you need to always connect with, number one, the fact that you were once lost.
Yeah. That's good, dude.
You were lost in your sin, and then another seeker came along and shared the gospel with you and showed you the cross and God's love, right? And God's love must always be at the core of our hearts. You know, could you imagine the person that reached out to you walking past you and never opening their mouth? You would not be here right now. What would your life look like? Well, I know what mine would look like, and that's a scary, scary place to be, because I was headed in the wrong direction, and I was doing some things that was going to catch up with me, and I would be in some places that none of us would want to be. So I would know what my life would look like, and you guys know what your lives would look like too, right? But thank God for the men that were in my life. Thank God for Matt. Thank God for Charles reaching out to me, studying the Bible, being patient with me, being a desperate seeker, even when I was prideful, didn't want to look at the scriptures, didn't want to study the Bible. This dude would text me all the time, and I'm grateful for that. Because Charles is a desperate seeker. Matt is a desperate seeker. I'm grateful for the people that were in my life. Right?
Love you, dude.
Guys, how dare we not seek and save the lost? How dare we sit here as disciples of Jesus Christ and not have the compassion to be a desperate seeker, right? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, he said that as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. You are a co-worker with God. He's moving and orchestrating times and places. He's moving, softening people's hearts, and literally putting them on your campus, and we walk by them.
Wow.
And we walk by them, right? And simply what's happening is that the sheep is just getting further and further away from the herd.
Yeah.
We've been saved by grace to give grace. We're loved.
Wow.
We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. And so we've been given that, not to have that and harbor that for ourselves, but to go give that to someone else. But to go preach to people out there, because people are lost. You know, you've got to get desperate. Amen? You know, the desperate seeker doesn't give up. Listen to the definition of desperate. Having a great need or desire for something. Here's some synonyms. Eager for, longing for, yearning for, hungry for, crying out for. You don't give up as a desperate seeker because you see a need to share your faith. It isn't just a command. It isn't just a thing that we do. you long to seek out sinners because you know God is diligently looking for them himself. To be a diligent seeker, you got to share your faith.
That's right.
You guys have stories that's going to move people's hearts. You guys have experiences that God has done. You guys have miracles that you've seen in your own life that you can share with someone and they will be moved. We've got to get desperate, right? And this is, the more desperate you are, honestly, the more in need you are, the more we will share our faith. If we look at sharing our faith that I'm desperate to find someone because they need to get right with God, they need to experience the joy that I have, the more that we will freely share our faith.
That's right.
We won't be burdened. We won't feel like it's a command. It's a job. We will joyfully go and share our faith.
Come on, Kyrie.
And listen, people aren't rejecting you. It's not about you, right? Mm-hmm. If you give up after a few no's, then you're making it about you. Then you're making it about you. You're looking at it all wrong. This is about a sinner being reconciled to God. This is so much bigger than you. Take your eyes off of you and put them on Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter what people say or think about you. Jesus said in John 15:20, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted you, they will persecute. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. You know, and I just want to lift up JD real quick. I'm so inspired by this dude. We were sharing faith during the first week of school, and JD's literally going from table to table. I took a break to eat lunch, so JD's like, I'm not waiting for you, dude. I'm just going to keep going. Sharing his faith with people.
Right along.
But let me tell you the amazing part about JD. So JD's sharing his faith, and then the guy and the girl that he just finished sharing with, JD leaves them, and they start talking about JD. They start laughing at him. And he goes to another table, and they're watching JD making fun of him. So I come to JD, like JD comes back, and I tell him, not in a sense to discourage him, but I was going to encourage him. But you know what JD said? He said, I don't care that they're talking about me. I'm trying to get these people to heaven. This is about God. Because people, we get so discouraged when people say no. But when we really think about it, this is about God.
This is
about taking a sinner and reconciling them to their Father. This has nothing to do with you.
Amen.
I was so inspired by that. And that's the heart that we are to have. You know what? Right now, write this on your notebook or in your Bible. I don't care if they talk about me. I'm trying to save a soul.
Deal.
I don't care what they say about
me.
I'm trying to save a soul. Tell that to the person next to you. Let's encourage each other right now.
I don't care what they say about me. I'm trying to save a soul. I'm trying to save a soul. They'll probably get a picture of it.
When you get this girl, wait, let's bring it back. When you get discouraged, say that a few times. Say that to yourself, say it out loud if you need to.
Yeah.
But it will help keep your mind focused on what's truly important. And that's the end goal.
Amen, dude.
And bringing as many people with us to heaven. And that is the end goal. That's the dream. That's the purpose. That's why we're here, right? And it says that, you know, heaven rejoiced. And let's think about it. Heaven rejoiced when Fiorella, when Raven, when Ajane, the heavens rejoiced, right? And this is what it's about. We rejoice here, but God and the angels, they threw a party last night when George got baptized. That's what this is about. This is about from me to God to glorify my Father. It has nothing to do with me, right? So, but seriously, you know, all the no's for a few yes is worth it.
Amen.
Right? Without someone enduring the rejection, this room would be empty.
That's right.
This room would be empty. We would not be seated in these seats. You guys would not be here. This would be pointless, right? Right? Let's fight every day, desperately every day, to be desperate seekers. Amen? So let's continue to read here.
Amen, dude.
Starting in verse 11. It says that Jesus continued, and there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off to a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he had begun to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'"
Right.
So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a while off, while he was still a long way, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and now he is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard all the music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found."
Amen.
You know, this story is so powerful. And because of the nature of children and parent relationships and sibling rivalry, you know, this story has a very, very, very human feel, right? And that makes this one of Jesus' most touching parables, right? So this father, who is God, has two sons. One who goes off, squanders his money, squanders his inheritance. Actually, squanders his father's life, because the father's still alive, so it's still the father's, and the father gives it to him anyway, right? And that represents the tax collectors and sinners. And the older son, who has been home obeying and working for the father, and he is the Pharisees and the religious. You know, this younger son's actions does not deserve the father's response. He does not deserve the father's response. He doesn't deserve the father's mercy and grace. The younger son saw his need, but what his behavior deserved was punishment. Yeah. What his behavior deserved was isolation and destitution. But what he got was restoration to sonship because of his heart of repentance. The older son was bitter and jealous that he didn't even go into the celebration. He yells at his father that he keeps his commands. "I obey you. I read my Bible every day. I do all the right things, and you never did this for me." He's ungrateful. Right? But the father's compassion does not change. Wow. He says, "Son, you are always with me. Everything that I have, it's yours." Everything I have is yours. It's yours, right? But we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. And now he's found. Point number two is that if you're going to have an evangelistic heart, we must become like the compassionate father.
All right. Wow.
This story hits home. You know why? Because it's all of our stories. We all have fallen short of God's glory. we all have lived our own lives. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be disciples. We don't deserve to be clothed with Christ. We don't deserve to be co-heirs. We don't deserve to be adopted to sonship and daughtership for the sisters out there. But we don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve God's grace. And not only that, you are seated and equal with Jesus right now in heaven. You do not deserve that. We don't deserve that, right? And then on top of that, not only does God make us right with him and gives us all of these things, he lets us have cars and jobs. We get to go to universities. We get to enjoy friendships. We get to enjoy food. We get to have pets. We get to...
I'm with you.
We get to enjoy things on this earth that we really don't deserve. Because we squandered our wealth. We've blown it, right? Nothing we have done earned anything that we have. It is all a gift of the Father's grace. And if you are a disciple here, then you have experienced the greatest depth of compassion ever known to mankind. You were a sinner saved by grace. You've been alive. You were dead and now you're alive. And when you were dead, like Ephesians 2 says, you were dead in your sins when God saved you. You had no hope. You had no chance. Just connect with that for a second. Imagine, close your eyes and imagine your life before you were a disciple.
No, thank you.
No. You don't want to go back there. You don't want to go back there. You don't want to. Why? Because there was no life in that.
Oh, no.
There was no life in that. There was no freedom in that.
That's right, dude.
There was no freedom in that. And now you live because of what God has done. You have become a family member again. You were once outside, and now you are inside of the house again. This is the grace of God. He rejoices and he celebrates and he meets you where you are when you have a repentant heart. He dusts you off, he gets you the finest robe, and he celebrates with you. And you know, I looked at this robe thing. He said, get me the finest robe, right? And if God is king, he wears the finest robe. Wow. So what he did for the son was that he clothed him in his own robe, adopting him back to sonship.
Oh, man.
That's what he did for God, and that's what he did for each of you who are baptized and clothed with Christ right now. And each of you who are studying, that is what God wants to do for you. That is what God wants to do for you. Guys, we've got to get this to other people. We've got to get this to other people. How can we keep this to ourselves? How can we keep this to ourselves? When we don't open our mouths, we are like the older son who didn't fully understand what he already had in his relationship with the Father. So he couldn't have the joy for his estranged brother returning home. He couldn't celebrate with his father because he didn't understand that he already had that.
Right.
He already had that. He didn't get that. He didn't connect with that. So he couldn't have the joy for his brother. When we have compassion like the Father, our focus will be outward. Our focus will be outward, not on ourselves. The brother's focus was on him. Father, I served you. I obeyed your commands. I did everything that you asked me to do. But when we're outward, we will share in hopes that someone we reach out to will repent and experience what God has done in our own lives. Compassion like the Father means that our joy should be outward focused, not inward, or just about you and God, right? Reconciliation involves not only God and that individual, but it involves that individual in community. It involves us. That means that we all celebrate when someone comes to God.
Yes, we do.
When we have compassion like the Father, we will see this room filled. We will meet our goal of 100. We will be looking for a new place to have midweek when we have compassion like the Father.
Amen.
You know, in Matthew 9:36, it says that Jesus had compassion on them because they were harassed, on the crowds, because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd, right? Having compassion like the Father will alter someone's destiny. We're going to alter people's lives. We're going to change people's trajectories and plans for their lives. When you have compassion, we won't give up on people. We won't throw in the towel if they're not open the first study. We'll keep reaching out to them. We'll hang out with them. We'll spend time with them. We'll build a friendship, right? We will not give up on people because Jesus did not give up on us. He endured the cross. He endured its shame. He endured the beating. He endured the spit. He did not give up on it. He was thinking about each and every one of us. That's the compassion that we are to have, right? You never know who God is going to lead you to. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, right, we all know that scripture, that it's about sharing the gospel and sharing our lives. When we have compassion like the Father, we will share our lives. Yeah. We will pour our hearts out for people on campus. We will serve them. We will love them. I loved looking at pictures of the Hope Club at William Patterson. Literally seeing them carrying people's items and belongings. That doesn't really happen that much. Serving people, meeting people. They met 57 people who want to sign up for that club. Because compassion equals servanthood. And that's what people are looking for. People are looking for people to show them servanthood. They're looking for people to show them Jesus. They just don't know that.
Yeah.
And to have father-like compassion is exactly what is going to show people Jesus.
Amen.
You know, there is something not glorious, though, about being out there day in and day out.
Right, right.
There's something not glorious about going out to share your faith every single day, giving people rides, right? Going from here, having 3 Bible studies, having 15 credits. Like, we work hard. And so there's a part of it that isn't glory. It is ugly. It is hard work.
That's right. Right?
And I know that. But what a joy it is when you get to see that payoff.
Come on. Yeah.
What a joy it is when you hear someone say, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
What a joy it is when you hug someone after they just got out of the water. Last night when I hugged George, I was like, praise God. Praise God. I know Mark and Chuck. Praise God. This was worth it. This was worth the studies. This was worth any confliction, anything that we had. To see this man be reconciled to God, his proper place to be with his Father, this is worth it.
Come on, Carter.
Yeah. You guys, there is nothing, and I haven't really experienced it myself yet, but prayerfully, very soon I do, but there is nothing like hugging someone that you helped get through all the Bible studies. Yeah. There is nothing like that. But the only way that's going to happen is if you have father-like compassion.
Come on,
right. Raise your hand if you grew up in the church.
Going to church.
Wow. That's a lot of you, right?
It's almost exactly.
And imagine, just take a second and imagine if the person who reached out to your parents or the person who reached out to them did not have compassion and walked past them, some of you wouldn't even be here right now.
Oh, good mercy. Wouldn't exist.
Some of you wouldn't exist. If someone did not have the compassion that Jesus had, you would not be here right now, right? We are literally, I loved at the ICMC lesson when the last speaker said this, I forgot his name, but he said that when we share our faith and when we baptize people, that heaven is literally closing in on earth. It is coming down. The heavens are coming down here on earth. So imagine that what Mark said on Sunday, if we each team up and baptize someone, how much more will heaven be right here on earth? How much more will people experience heaven, right? We have to have the Father's compassion to complete the evangelistic heart. Guys, God is literally depending on us to do our part. He needs us all to fight for this heart.
Yeah.
People's lives are on the line. So let us get desperate in our efforts to reach people pray for the compassion that Jesus has.
It's awesome.
Let us decide today that we will all hold each other accountable to fight for the evangelistic heart. So we can join in with the heavens rejoicing as we fill this room by building our ministry to 100. Amen?
Amen.
To God be the glory. Come on. Yeah.